Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parshas Va'ischanon. I'm going to do a little bit in the Parsha, but also focus a little bit on Tisha B'Av. The truth is, of course, that Parshas Va'ischanon is very much connected to Tisha B'Av. First of all, the Kriyas HaTorah, the Torah reading on Tisha B'Av morning, comes from Va'ischanon. It's a paragraph of rebuke. It's about how Moshe Rabbeinu warns the Jewish people that if they don't do the right thing, they're stay in Eretz Yisrael will be limited, and so on and so forth. But also, the very beginning of the Parsha is very much connected. The whole idea of the beginning of the Parsha is the exact opposite of the idea of Golos. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's burning desire to be in Eretz Yisrael. V'eschanan el Hashem, I pray to Hashem to let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu davened many, many tefillos. In fact, we know that V'eschanan is the gematria of 515. And we learn from Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefillos until Hashem said to him, Rav Loch, you need to stop now, because if you continue davening, I'm going to have to let you in. And it's a gzeira, it's a decree that you shouldn't be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu really desired so much to go into Eretz Yisrael. In fact, in Kabbalah, they bring different sources where Moshe Rabbeinu davened to such an extent that he asked that his neshama should just be in Eretz, to just go into Eretz Yisrael, and if he can't, then he should be able to go there in a reincarnated state into a fish or some sort of animal, just so his neshama should be into Eretz Yisrael. Tisha B'Av, of course, is about leaving Eretz Yisrael. It's about being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. It's about going into Golos, the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed, and not having the full opportunity to keep the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael and so on. So very much the antidote, so to speak, of Tisha B'Av is the desire that we have for it to go away, the desire we have for the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt, for Mashiach to come. And that fits in with the idea that Va'eschanan is read right after Tisha B'Av this year, particularly this year. Tisha B'Av is on Thursday, so we read Va'eschanan right away on Shabbos. And that's the Shabbos, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, when Hashem comforts us. And we hope that Tisha B'Av will be transformed in the day of happiness. Just on that point of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a lot of discussion in the different commentaries about when did Moshe Rabbeinu actually start to do these 515 tefillos, when did it happen, how did it happen, and so on and so forth. The Chassam Sofer says that he brings from the Baal HaFlo, his teacher, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened the 515 tefillos evening, morning, and afternoon every day. The three tefillos that we daven each day, he asked that, he included the request to go into Eretz Yisrael. And he says the first tefillah was on the 16th of Nisan, and the 514th tefillah was on Mincha of Yom Kippur. And then, as he says, Moshe Rabbeinu got up and he made Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, and that's the 515th tefillah, which was the time of Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, which ties into this very special tefillah that we have, which we daven Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. Whatever it is, it was obviously a huge amount of tefillahs, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not give up, which is in itself a lesson for davening. It's a lesson of tefillah. Sometimes we daven and we think we haven't been answered. Now, of course, Hashem always listens to our tefillah. But even if we don't see the fulfillment of the tefillah, and even if we're davening for something appropriate, and we don't see the fulfillment of that tefillah, we need to keep asking, like a child who doesn't stop nudging. The child always knocks on the door until that door gets opened. Such is the nature of tefillah. And this is one of the things we learn from the way Moshe Rabbeinu davened to go into Eretz Yisrael until Hashem explicitly told him that he cannot go in. It's a gezeirah decree that he won't be able to go in. Of course, just to mention, in this week's parasha, of course, is the repetition of the Aseres Hadibros, Ten Commandments, and of course the Shema. That one paragraph, that unbelievable paragraph that Yidden have said, died and lived by ever since we went into Eretz Yisrael, is the parsha in this week's parsha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's the paragraph which has in it the ultimate belief in Hashem, the love of Hashem, the commitment to learning Torah, and the commitment to mitzvahs. I just want to share something a little bit about Tisha B'Av now. Tisha B'Av, of course, we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And there's an interesting question that is brought up by some of the Mefarshim. We believe, of course, that although the Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, and Titus, the Roman general, were the ones to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the first and the second, but of course they don't really have free choice that much to do what they want. The Beis HaMikdash was only destroyed because Hashem allowed it to be destroyed. And we say that clearly in our davening on Yom Kippur afternoon. We say, Kibo Eish Hitzato. We say to Hashem, you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with fire and it will be rebuilt with fire. So the question that Mefarshim asked is, how could it be? How could Hashem allow the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed? How could he destroy the Beis HaMikdash? We have a principle that Hashem keeps his own mitzvahs. There's a pasuk which we say in Tehillim every day. In Davening we say it, Magid Dvarov LeYaakov Chukov UMishpatov LeYisrael. Hashem says his words to Yaakov, his statutes, his laws, he gives to the Bnei Yisrael. The Medrash says on that they sometimes you have a king or a governor that gives out laws to the country, but he himself doesn't observe them. Not so with Hashem. Hashem observes his own mitzvahs. Hashem observes the mitzvahs that he gives us. Which, of course, explains a number of passages in the Shas, in the Gemara. For example, we have the Gemara in Brachas, Tfilin Demari Alma Maximu, what is written in the Tfilin of Hashem. Now, Hashem doesn't obviously wear physical Tfilin, but it means on a spiritual level, he observes the mitzvah of Tfilin because he told us to observe it. So what's in his Tfilin? On that, by the way, the Gemara says a fascinating thing in our tefillin. It says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, a commitment to Hashem. And Hashem's tefillin, it says Umi Ka'amchok Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Who's like your nation Yisrael, one nation in earth. In other words, Hashem praises the Yidden in his tefillin. We have another story in the Gemara where the heretic once asked some of the great sages. He said, Lekechem Koyenu, your God, you consider to be a Koyen. There's a pasuk that says Hashem is a Koyen. In which case, how could he bury Moshe Rabbeinu? How could he become Tomei? And the answer was given because a Koyen may become impure to his relatives, his blood relatives, like children. And since Bonim Atam Hashem Lekechem, we are like children to Hashem. So Hashem was allowed to become Tomei, so to speak, in burying Moshe Rabbeinu. And such other verses which we find in the Gemara, which means they all point to one idea, this idea that Hashem is bound, so to speak, by his own mitzvahs. Now, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There's a halacha in Torah that one may not destroy a place of worship. One may not destroy a shul, for example. Which then raises the question, if Hashem keeps his own mitzvahs, then how come was he allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is a very simple one, but very profound, and it gives us a bit of insight into the whole journey of Tisha B'Av. The answer is that there's an exception. One may destroy a shul if the intent is to build a more beautiful one in its place. Meaning that if my destroying the shul is not really destroying, it's to facilitate the building, then the destruction of that shul becomes part of the building. It may be an act of destruction, but it becomes part of the rebuilding. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash because the purpose of Golos is not just a punishment. The purpose of Golos is to come to a higher level than we were before. We have this idea of Yerida Tzorech Aliyah. Descent is for the purpose of ascent. In other words, the whole Golos was to bring us back afterwards to a third Beis HaMikdash, which will be a combination, we are told, of the first two Batei HaMikdash, and it will be much greater, infinitely greater, an eternal Beis HaMikdash, one that cannot be destroyed, one which is more beautiful both physically and spiritually, and will be so strong that it will last forever. So the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was actually a part of the building, which of course explains many different things. So for example, we say in Yom Kippur afternoon, we say to Hashem, Ki ba'esh hitzato, with fire you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, uve esh ato osid livnoisa, with fire you will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Which is a very interesting phrase. Why does it have to be that way? Why does Hashem have to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with the same material that he destroyed it with? If he destroyed it with fire, why is he rebuilding with fire if fire is that destructive thing? And of course, they all psuk him to back this idea up. But the idea is very simple. It means that the very, very tool that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash was actually a tool of construction, not destruction. So therefore, Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with fire, and that very destruction will give birth to the rebuilding to a much greater edifice than we had before. Similar idea to the whole famous story in Makkis, where Rabbi Gamliel and his colleagues were going with Rabbi Akiva to the spot of the Beis Hamikdash after the destruction, and they saw such ruin, and they saw a fox coming out of the Holy of Holies. They started to cry. They started to cry because it was painful. And Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. And essentially, if you look at the Gemara there, without going to the whole Gemara, he said that now that I see the destruction, I see the rebuilding. And what that means on a deeper level is that Rabbi Akiva had the capacity to look at the destruction with all its pain and to see it as another step in rebuilding. And therefore, when we sad on Tisha B'Av, when we cry on Tisha B'Av, it needs not just to be a cry of despair, a cry of giving up hope, it has to be a cry of emunah, a cry of rebuilding, a cry which triggers within us a greater commitment to Torah mitzvahs, a greater commitment to bringing Mashiach, a greater commitment to the belief in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash as a result of this crying. So it's a cry of emunah, it's a cry of hope, and it's a cry for the destruction, which we believe is actually a part of the rebuilding. We just want it to take place. B'mheira b'yameinu. May we be zoicha to see the time that even this Tisha B'Av, where we say that all the sad days, Yehofchu Yom Me'elu L'Sosin L'Simcha, these days will be transformed, the days of Yontif. Mashiach comes, your Tisha B'Av will be an open Yontif, and may we be zoicha to that very, very soon. Have a good day and a good Shabbos and a meaningful fast.